Hello and welcome to the Chengdu Gaming Federation podcast. My name is Charlie and I'm joined here with Austin.
Hello.
Today we're going to be talking about China's influence on the global games industry, which is sort of a peripheral topic next to or adjacent to one which the whole world's talking about right now, which is the influence which China has on the rest of the world and on the West, Western world in particular.
On media specifically.
Yeah, that's right. Another big flashpoint for this outside of the Blizzard controversy has been the NBA, National Basketball Association, and comments by, I think his name is Daryl Morey, who's the general manager for the Houston Rockets, as well as LeBron James has gotten himself stuck in the middle of this controversy.
Yeah.
And the larger conversation is about what effect does China have on the rest of the world?
Since freedom of speech.
Yeah, since I think we're all pretty clear that China has strict rules on what is permissible inside the territory of China. But now the focus has shifted onto how is the world outside of China changing in order to appease China's interests and preferences.
Yeah, which is a little bit of a crazy topic, I think, to go into. I mean, you know, we kind of have always just assumed America's America, China's China. I mean, you know, it's understandable having a game released here or a movie or something coming out here obviously may have something. But I mean, having the actions that people are taking outside of China be impacted, you know, I mean, it kind of seems like China's overreaching a little bit.
Yeah, well, China has been carrying out a very smart strategy, I think, which is to acknowledge the fact that China has sovereignty over its own country.
Right.
But the market is just so big that other, you know, creators within the media space, game developers, film producers, people who produce music, even sports leagues like the NBA.
Ball dunkers.
Have an interest in appeasing Chinese censors. And that really changes the products which they make outside of China as sort of a consequence. And we've been recording this podcast for probably 3 or 4 years now, and we've been chronicling sort of all the
major,
you know, all the repressive sort of actions which China has taken to limit and restrict media of various types inside China, especially games. We've talked about
Peace, Rainbow Six Siege with Ubisoft.
Yeah, we've been talking about a lot of the restrictions in China, how to get around them, how to live with them, sort of putting them in context and finding the best path for people who play games or make games inside China. And so it's interesting to see the latest chapter of this evolution, you know, have really broad acknowledgement from people outside of the game industry, outside of the music or movie industry. And everybody's kind of looking at China to see, like, well, what's going to happen next?
I mean, it kind of blew up. And I think putting things into perspective, we have to touch on what's happening in Hong Kong right now, which is kind of at the center of what all of this that we're discussing today is about.
That's a big part of this, too. Yeah, that is still unfolding as well. I think they're in like the 18th week or something like that of protests in Hong Kong. So that's getting super wild as well. That's definitely a part of this. And yeah, let's get into it. So China's influence on the global gaming industry, I guess one of the big events which most people might be familiar with around this is Blizzard.
South Park. Oh, right.
Yeah, there's so many different entry points into this discussion. I mean, we could choose like half a dozen. But I think that the Blizzard one is one which has been widely discussed over the last 2 or 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, you said it blew up on Reddit, right? I mean, a number like one place, top Reddit post or something, I think, for one of the posts.
Yeah, so I'll explain what happened. Basically, there's a Hearthstone competitive scene inside China, which is really big.
Huge.
Hearthstone is one of the games. Obviously, Hearthstone is a collectible card strategy game, which is played primarily online. It's developed by Blizzard, Activision Blizzard.
Only played online, not primarily. I don't think there's any way to play it offline.
There's a campaign mode, but it's the major way which people play it is like competitive online sort of tournament, you know, ranked situation and so on.
Right.
But it's developed by Activision Blizzard and
it's not Activision Blizzard anymore. Oh, it is still like, okay, yeah. Just mixing up companies.
Yeah,
here.
No, it's Activision Blizzard. And Tencent owns a little bit of Activision Blizzard, I think about 5%. But anyway, so Tencent's interest is obviously in seeing Blizzard games become successful in China.
They only have like a 5% stake in the company, right?
I think so. I think it's 5%. But yeah. I mean, it just goes to say that once Tencent invests in you, you know, they have vested interest in the developer's success inside China. And Blizzard has been one which has been quite successful in China with Overwatch. And with Hearthstone as well.
And that's got some stuff to do with what's going on with all this.
Yeah. So anyway, there was a Hearthstone tournament, I believe in
Hong Kong.
Was it in Hong Kong?
It was in Hong Kong.
Yeah. Okay. So there was a Taiwanese champion who...
No, he's from Hong Kong too.
No, I think he's Taiwanese.
Okay.
Blitzchung is his name.
Blitzchung.
So he uttered a controversial statement.
His name is like Nugu Wai Chung.
Blitzchung is his name.
Yeah.
So Blitzchung made a comment after he won the tournament, and it was in support of Hong Kong protesters. China really didn't like that. So it's resulted in a huge controversy because Blizzard took action to ban him and to not pay him his winnings from the tournament, which he won.
And ban him for a year.
Yeah, which Blizzard has now gone back on. Now they've given him his winnings. So, but this is all a result of the outcry over Blizzard's action.
When they announced it, that they were going to do that, three American players raised signs during a championship stream that day. Saying free Hong Kong, boycott Blitz, and...
Blizzard.
They just said boycott Blitz. But yeah, Blizzard.
Blitz?
Yeah, that's what they said.
What is Blitz?
They mean Blizzard. I don't know.
Okay.
But anyway, they got banned just for doing that.
Yeah. So the outrage which you mentioned, which I said to you, was that there's a Blizzard subreddit on Reddit, which is just... fans of Blizzard, World of Warcraft fans, StarCraft, Hearthstone, Overwatch, and that subreddit has been like a nuclear Blackthorn, meltdown.
Right? They talk about Blackthorn a lot too.
Yeah, so it's all memes. It's all the entire subreddit is just memes, which is just needling Blizzard just to an incredible degree.
And a big one that's come out of the memes has been Mei, right? From Overwatch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're trying to turn her into an a pro democracy supporter for free Hong Kong.
And they're trying to do that to get Blizzard banned in China.
Yeah, which is pretty kind of a cool move, I think, but also crazy.
Well, the belief is that Blizzard's only going to act in interest of its bottom line, which makes a lot of sense. Blizzard doesn't really care about any of these political issues. It just cares about promoting its business. Which is understandable from Blizzard's perspective, but the response from players is also understandable.
The Blizzard said that he broke the Grandmaster's rules, saying engaging in any act that in Blizzard's sole discretion brings you into public disrepute, offends a portion or a group of the public, or otherwise damages Blizzard's image. And so they punished him based on that, and also stopped any cooperation with the casters working on the stream. And since have gone back on that, saying they thought it was a little bit too harsh, but they still stand by their decision and think that he broke the rules.
They just want to quell this uprising. That's the only reason why Blizzard took a step back in that situation. But I don't blame Blizzard for doing what they did. I mean, as a company, which is, it is publicly owned, so there is an argument for that. But they can make any decision they want, and then people also can respond to their actions in any way they want, too. So I think it was narrow-minded and short-sighted of Blizzard to not foresee that this would be the outcome of this action.
For sure. But I mean, anyone involved in China's esports market, it's huge, growing. It is speculated that it could be worth up to $3 billion. As the government, starts to market it as a profession. So, I mean, Blizzard, as you said, is a business. They are going to do, the decisions based on this that's going to, get them the most money. And China's a huge part of that.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting.
We don't have esports blowing up the same way in America as they are here.
No, we don't. Not even close.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is understandable from that perspective. It is interesting to see what will become of Blizzard now, since it's been quite a long time since Blizzard has released a very successful game. Now that Overwatch and Hearthstone are not exactly new games, I think Overwatch was released in 2017. So it's a couple years old. It'll be interesting to see what happens, whether or not big new Blizzard games receive adoption outside of China. You know, if there's any real meat or substance behind this protest. Will people be willing to boycott a big Blizzard release because of this? Or will this all just sort of fade away and go with the wind?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, a big part of it, I think, is just a huge, heavy-handed move on part due to Blizzard trying to discourage people from making that kind of action in the future. Whether or not it's like really impacts the industry long-term, it's hard to say. But, I mean, people are still upset about it, you know, like, more than a week after the fact, so.
I think we'll be able to find out very soon because BlizzCon starts very shortly and there's a huge amount of resentment towards Blizzard. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of, you know, behavior that manifests in. And there's also been some leaks within the last week. I'm not sure if you've seen this, which suggest that they're going to announce Diablo 4.
Mm.
So the reaction to a game of that tier will be very interesting because last year, looking at BlizzCon, that was when they unveiled Diablo Immortal.
Don't you have a phone?
Yeah, it resulted in that meme, which no one is ever going to forget. That's just been memed into infinity. So Blizzard is a big part of this. And yeah, I think we're looking now at other game developers and looking at how they're willing to modify their games and their content for the Chinese market and what kind of reaction that will elicit from gamers who are elsewhere around the world. Because most of these companies are not like Blizzard, and they're not going to be able to get inside China and past all the regulators. One of the big reasons why Blizzard has been able to do this is because Tencent owns part of that company, and Tencent has sort of held their hand through that whole process. And if Tencent is willing to do that for you, if you are, you know, a Fortnite, you know, which Tencent owns 40% of Epic Games.
40%.
Yeah.
And Epic's reaction to this was totally different. I mean, obviously, it's not Epic's company that's dealing with this, but I mean, they responded that Epic will never do anything like this, that you have freedom of speech to, you know, do whatever you want, basically. And, you know, Tencent owns a much larger stake in that company. You know, close to half of the company is owned by Tencent.
Well, and less than half means you don't have a controlling share.
Right.
So it's not Tencent's call.
Right. It's not Tencent's call. But then, you know, you only have 5% over at Blizzard, and Blizzard is doing this, which just seems ludicrous to me.
Well, we can't attribute Blizzard's behavior just to Tencent's 5% ownership stake. It's because Blizzard is owned and controlled by Activision, and Activision just cares about the money.
Right.
So, but anyway, Fortnite is just an example, and the example is that Fortnite had great ambitions of becoming a huge game inside China, and it was guided through the regulatory process by Tencent, which owns a huge stake in Epic Games, and they bought that stake because they believed that it could become the number one game inside China. And it looked like it was going to become that until we saw this regulatory freeze, which kind of changed the whole, you know, Chinese gaming landscape.
I mean, that not just the Chinese gaming landscape. I mean, the whole landscape. I mean, China dominated the mobile market, dominated the overall percentage of revenue made from games for years due to everything going on here. And this year, we saw the U.S. surpass them due to that freeze on games.
Have they already overpassed them?
They surpassed them.
Wow, okay, yeah. I read an article.
But that's going to change next year for sure. It's going to go back to China again now that the freeze has been lifted.
Well, not really, because they're approving so few games.
Hmm.
Anyway, there was an article which I read, which I guess is out of date now since you said it's already been overtaken, but the article which I read was from June of this year, and it was a Newsweek article, the headline of which was U.S. will overtake China as number one gaming market in 2019. And this was basically like the TLDR version of it is basically that consoles are seeing explosive growth in the
Huge
West.
Huge growth.
Yeah, and yeah. PC gaming is pretty stagnant, mobile not growing as fast, but the console market in China is kind of dead. It's not really going anywhere. So the breakdown of the gaming industry in China and the United States are two totally different situations. In China, it's about 60% of the industry is based just on PC and MMO games.
Yeah.
So like League of Legends, which is developed by Riot, which was acquired by Tencent. So that's wholly Chinese owned. That's a good example of that. It's basically the MOBA genre, which is huge in the competitive esports space in China. So PC and MMO games are the largest share of the Chinese gaming industry. And then browser games are still pretty big. Mobile games are pretty big. And everything else is kind of insignificant.
Right. But also, it's pretty much dominated by just a few games. And any other games in these genres are struggling to even get off their feet. I mean, someone said that there was a post on Reddit about protesting all of this. And they said, we should dress up as your favorite TF2 character to go to BlizzCon, stuff like that, you know. But, I mean, TF2 doesn't really hold a candle to Overwatch, even with all of this going on. There's
Do you mean Team Fortress 2?
Yeah.
Wasn't even sure what you meant.
Yeah. Exactly. That's where TF2 stands. People don't, you know, think about it much. I mean,
it's like a 15-year-old game.
Yeah. Now. So, I mean,
just to give an example, I have a list of some of the biggest games in the Chinese gaming industry here. I thought I'd read through some of these and you could tell me how many of these you've heard of.
Okay.
So this first list is just NetEase games. Okay.
Okay.
So for anyone unfamiliar, the two biggest developers and publishers in the game industry in China are NetEase and Tencent.
Mm-hmm.
And these two companies are some of the largest technology companies in the world. I think Tencent is valued right about as much as Facebook. But Tencent also has WeChat and another, you know, many other very valuable online and technology products. But anyway, this list is NetEase games. These are all games which are available outside of China.
Yeah.
So these are English language games, which are available for download in the United States or Canada, Europe, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And so keep in mind, this is one of the biggest publishers in the world. Okay. All right. Here's the list. Tome of the Sun.
Mm-mm.
Crusaders of Light.
Mm-mm.
Eternal Arena.
Mm-mm.
Immortal Conquest.
Mm-mm.
Twilight Pioneers.
Mm-mm.
Lunar Flowers.
Nope.
Knives Out.
Uh-uh.
Okay, none of those. Wow.
Yeah.
I thought the only one you'd be familiar with was Knives Out. Knives Out is a ripoff of PUBG or of Game of Peace.
Okay.
Maybe you're like stabbing people in peace or something. I'm not sure what kind of ridiculous workaround they might have in Knives Out. But that's just to give an example. So this
stab
is one
you
of the,
in the heart with love.
One of the biggest publishers in the gaming industry in the world. All these games are published outside China. And basically, I mean, I would be surprised if I know more than one or two people who've heard of any of these games.
Right.
They're totally obscure.
But they're top grossing games.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they just really play the charts though, right? So.
Well, I don't think I've even seen these in the charts.
Damn.
I mean, I think I would have some awareness of them. Although Knives Out did perform very well, but I suspect that that good performance was a result of them, you know, gaming the charts, gassing it up,
yeah.
Producing artificial downloads, maybe even artificial purchases. That sort of behavior is very, very common inside China.
Right.
This is why the top charts inside Chinese app stores are basically all BS. There's no authenticity to those charts at all. And many argue, correctly so from my view, that even the top grossing charts in the App Store or in Google Play are also so heavily manipulated that it doesn't really provide any meaningful data. So it's interesting to see what kind of effect China's preferences for these games could have on the rest of the world. Another news bit, which is sort of tangential to this, is the news that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Quentin Tarantino
right.
release, it looks like it's not coming out in China.
Which it was said to come out here, and
yeah.
now it's not.
Yeah, I saw it in the theaters when it first came out in June, I believe. So that was like 4 months ago. And so it was scheduled to just come out now in China. And suddenly, regulators in China decided this movie can't pass because there's a
portrayal of Bruce Lee. Right?
Yeah, there's a scene which is so cool. It's so awesome. I don't want to describe it for anyone who hasn't seen it, but there's a scene which involves Bruce Lee and he's portrayed in a not positive light, which is very entertaining and very funny and very memorable because it flips the convention that you have of Bruce Lee sort of on its head. In any case, China found this scene allegedly,
offensive.
Yeah, unacceptable. So they apparently, this is according to reports, we don't know if it's true, but they demanded that Quentin Tarantino edit the film and change it to appease the Chinese regulators, and then they would allow it to be released. And Tarantino refused to do that.
Right.
And so he's being given a lot of credit for standing by his principles
yeah.
because this would have been his highest grossing film of his whole career had it come out in Chinese theaters. So good for him sticking to his guns. But
yeah, for sure.
The question is, how many game developers are willing to do that?
I mean, I don't think a lot. Going back to Blitzchung, though, there was a, before they removed, you know, the year-long ban and not paying him, there's another developer for a game called Gods Unchained, which is another trading card game similar to, you know, Hearthstone. It's a competitor, and it sounds pretty cool. All the cards are, like, supported by blockchain technology. You can buy, trade, sell all your cards, which is cool. You can sell them off if you decide you don't want to play anymore. And they offered to pay all of his, you know, lost funds, give him his winnings, and pay for him to come out to a tournament on his thing for their game, stating that Activision Blizzard only cares about money. And they said they don't care about money. They just want to make a good game. And I think that's, you know, not common in the industry, at least for, you know, the bigger developers like Activision Blizzard. I think that's a truthful statement. And I don't think that this game, Gods Unchained, will ever, you know, see the success that Hearthstone has, which is a shame to not see developers get that level of support that I think deserve it, doing things like what Quentin Tarantino just did and sticking to their ethics and principles. You know,
I think what it's coming down to is that China is imposing ever more restrictive rules upon media properties which come inside China.
NBA is a prime example.
Yeah. So, but what it's forcing these companies to do, like Blizzard, like the NBA, like Quentin Tarantino, is to choose the world or you choose China.
Yeah.
And it's getting really difficult to stay in the middle and be neutral and have both of those things, because on one hand, you have China saying, you better follow by our rules or we'll kick you out, we'll hate you, we'll ban you, and so on. And then you have the rest of the world, like all these people who are sending all this hate at Blizzard, and they're saying, you better stand by our principles of freedom and democracy and openness, or we will reject you and meme you and so on.
Right.
So these companies are having to make this choice, and it seems like Blizzard doesn't really want to make that choice.
Yeah.
Blizzard wants to just remain in the middle and try to appease both sides. And it seems like in the long run, it might be unsuccessful in doing that.
Did you know that they canceled their launch event for Overwatch for the Switch? And Nintendo, in retaliation, has offered full eShop refunds, which they've never done for another title in the entire eShop history. So they're offering full refunds for anybody who doesn't want to support Blizzard's actions.
Wow. There's probably going to be a large volume of people taking advantage of that.
Yeah. So that's pretty crazy. You know, you're seeing huge waves out impacting numerous companies just from this single event from this one guy.
Yeah. I think the concern, I mean, if I were Blizzard, I would be concerned about if they are trying to appease the regulators in China and the Chinese audience by doing these things and they piss off Western gamers. Maybe they lose substantial market share in the West by doing this, and China ends up banning them anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe they do something in the future. Who knows what it is or when it is, but I mean, the rules are getting tighter and more strict. So who's to say that Blizzard doesn't step in some sort of trap, which they don't see coming, and they get banned from Blizzard, and they will have pissed off the West by doing this.
I mean, Game for Peace is a good example of that. You know, I mean, PUBG was primed and ready to go. You know, Tencent basically bought a majority stake in Bluehole, I think.
I think they have a minority stake, but yeah, they own some Bluehole.
You know, and it was good to go. It was a successful game. Chinese audience loved that game, And it was ready to go. And they pulled the plug on that and made a entirely new game. It's basically the same game with a couple of tweaks to it just to appease, you know, the regulators.
Yeah, well, they had no choice at that point. What else are they going to do? I mean, because the rest of the world had moved on from PUBG at that point.
Yeah, but I mean, what's it going to come to with Blizzard? You know, I mean, that's what they're going to become if they focus solely on China.
Yeah.
So,
well, it seemed like the writing on the wall, even from last year at BlizzCon, was kind of that, well, Blizzard's probably not going to do what you want them to do. They're going to release a Diablo mobile game, and that's that.
Yeah.
You know, from the guy who asked, like, do you ever have any plans of porting this to PC? And they're like, nope, not really. Don't you have a phone? You know, yeah. It's like, I feel like that makes it pretty clear that they're like, yeah, we don't really care about what you want. We believe that mobile microtransactions and in-app purchases is the way in which we're going forward. And that felt like not a direct, but an emphatic endorsement of the strategy which they're taking, which is definitely leading towards China.
Yeah. Which is kind of a shame. I mean, they were gods in the industry, basically, for years.
Well, add them to the list. You know, we had Maxis, which was acquired, you know, creators of SimCity, and The Sims, which was acquired by Electronic Arts, basically killed them, sucked their soul out. We had Westwood, you know, also killed by Electronic Arts.
I mean, they developed name off tons of studios just killed off by EA alone.
Yeah, so add Blizzard to the list. I mean, they were acquired by Activision, but clearly they're not the same, you know, after the acquisition. Even though Hearthstone has a lot of really good, you know, features and people really like it for good reason. It's a well-designed game, and Overwatch as well. But I mean, looking into the future, it'll be interesting to see, is Blizzard able to, you know, continue to even have a shadow of the reputation which they had before, or is that just hopeless?
So. I think it's hopeless.
Have you heard about all these crazy rules for BlizzCon this year?
Mm-mm.
So you have to install an app, like a Blizzard app, on your phone to get access to BlizzCon. And there's been a big controversy because people have been looking at the permissions required by the app. So the app requires your full name, your email address, your mailing address, your credit card number, your PIN code, your location determined by GPS and by 4G antenna. And it shares all this information with Blizzard and with unknown third parties.
Holy shit.
And you can't get access to the event without installing this app.
Damn.
So it's been like a huge privacy controversy over Blizzard's actions with this. And presumably they're sharing this information with Tencent or other Chinese partners, advertising partners.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are really upset about this, angry by this. There are videos on YouTube which are explaining what's going on with this suspicious Blizzard app, which have like millions of views.
I mean, it's understandable. That doesn't sound good at all, you know, sharing all that information.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of creative protests we get at BlizzCon this year.
For sure. The TF2 dress up.
What is that even? You have the engineer, the spy, like you got a couple.
The heavy. Yeah, I don't know. You got, nine characters? The medic?
Yeah.
That would be hilarious if people did that.
And to go back to the NBA really quick, I'm not sure if you've heard this, but the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver, recently said, we'll sit down and have a meeting with China, and if we don't meet eye to eye, then that'll be that. Which seems to clearly say, you know, hey, we have our principles, and if we can't come to an agreement, then we'll not do China. And that's like good to see. I think that's the approach you have to have, because otherwise it just feels like, well, we'll bend over and we'll take whatever they're giving us.
Right. You know? And then we're just going to see tons of things totally destroyed, you know, that have been a part of Western culture for years, you know, just completely destroyed.
You got to figure out where the line is. Where is the line that we're not willing to cross in order to have access to what is a very lucrative market?
Right.
But it's not growing at the rate it once was. So I think maybe the pull of the Chinese market might not be as great in the future as it has been in the last couple of years. That's all theory, though. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, we even have senators, you know, posting about this stuff, talking about how people who don't live in China are going to have to, you know, deal with this stuff or be blocked out of China. So. I mean,
well, it's basically the letter was to Blizzard, and it was saying you need to support freedom of expression because you're an American company and that's a responsibility which you have.
Right.
But I mean, I think, you know, it's
still a company.
It makes a scathing headline, you know, it makes a scathing tweet to, you know, to be like senators in Congress are, you know, putting Blizzard's feet to the fire over this expression, free speech issue. But I really wonder if Blizzard really, you know, cares at all or is affected by that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they just care about money, you know?
It does seem that way, yeah.
And I mean, to an extent, businesses have a life of their own. You know, they're an entity in and of themselves, and they will basically do whatever they can to protect themselves and flourish. So, I mean, assuming that they're going to do what's in their best interest as an American company, I think is, you know, an unrealistic expectation.
Yeah. So, but coming back to Blizzard, I mean, how many other game developers or game properties are in that same tier of having success outside of China and having access and success inside China? It's such a short list.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, you could probably count it on your fingers, you know?
Yeah, like Activision, you know, Blizzard, EA, Ubisoft. I mean, just a handful of major developers like that.
Yeah, EA's got FIFA here, and that's doing pretty well. And they have some other sports titles. We've got Call of Duty here, basically.
Mobile.
Yeah. And we've got, and we have some older Call of Duty titles that are like mashups of multiple games into an online game.
I think Tencent may have developed Call of Duty Mobile as well.
Interesting. And then we've got sports games and Blizzard, basically.
So those are the ones really in the crosshairs. Those are the ones which are going to be stuck in this in the middle position. All the other developers which are beneath that top tier level, like the publicly traded IPO level,
right,
are not going to have to make this decision because they're not going to have access to the Chinese market to begin with.
Exactly.
Unless they have some sort of unique, you know, super hot property. Supercell was one of those a couple years ago, which I think Tencent owns 80% of,
yeah,
if not outright own it. But that is a rare animal. So there's not many games which fit into that category. So,
yeah, I mean, we're not going to see things like Stardew Valley, you know, not that it has anything wrong, I think.
That would be funny if you're praying to Mao and there's like Chinese flags. And yeah. Yeah, it's such an absurd scenario.
But I mean, yeah. Any game in a instance like that with a small development team, that's one guy, or any other game that's just a small indie studio marketing to the West, I don't think would ever put themselves in a situation where they would, you know, make a game for Chinese people. I think Chinese developers are making for Chinese and foreign developers are making for foreigners. And I think it'll stick that way for a long time, with the exception of the giants that happen to be able to get into China.
I think that wall is just going to get higher and higher. The partition between China and the rest of the world in terms of games, music, movies, etc.
I agree. I think that these companies, if they focus further on China, are just going to basically be removed from the foreign. I mean, you know, I wouldn't think it's totally unrealistic to assume that a game from Blizzard in 10 years or something is pretty much entirely focused on the Chinese market.
Yeah, and why would Chinese gamers even worry about Hearthstone anyway when they have Tome of the Sun, Crusaders of Light, Eternal Arena, Immortal Conquest? I mean, hits like Twilight Pioneers, Lunar Flowers. So, I mean, you play games all day. You know what I mean? Like Tome of the Sun, Twilight Pioneers, all day, all night.
All day, all night.
Yeah, there you go. What else do you need? Anything to add to this before we wrap it up?
I think we covered pretty much everything.
Yeah, that's pretty rapid fire discussion.
Yeah. On boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
But it's if we come back and look at this topic, I think in like, you know, 3 months, 6 months, I mean, it could be a totally new situation.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen? This is really rapidly evolving. So, but look out for BlizzCon 2019. That's coming up really soon. That'll be a big, hotly watched event, which will be sort of a focal point of this exact subject.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what Blizzard does, where they stand on this. What kind, you know, will they do a Q&A? I mean, how will they even control that? You know, it's the potential for mishaps.
Tomatoes thrown.
I mean, they've got to be like scanning the hell out of people going in there, like their t-shirts, their clothes, like everything they bring in with them, their phones, you know, everything. It's going to be really unprecedented.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. It's funny because even 6 months ago, before the Hong Kong protest started, before the Blizzard controversy happened, you could still look at BlizzCon and be like, yeah, that might go not well.
Yeah.
You know, just based off last year. I mean, it was already bad last year.
Yeah. So this is going to be even worse.
Well, we'll see.
So on that note, what else are you playing right now?
What have I been playing? Well, we've been playing Nazi Zombies.
A lot.
Yeah, we've been playing a lot
deep
of that.
On Blood of the Dead specifically.
Yeah, we got a couple people in the CGF group who are joining us in online games, doing some puzzle solving in these maps. Quite complex. Aside from that, we just both got Tetris Effect on PSVR.
Such a cool game.
Fantastic game. Love it. Super fun. Really interesting new twist on Tetris, along with Tetris 99, which we talked about previously, came out earlier this year. What a big year for Tetris.
Yeah, I mean, really, really just changing up the formula just enough to really offer something fresh, new, innovative, while keeping the classic gameplay.
I think so. Is it 30 years since Tetris on Game Boy?
I don't know.
That 1989 was 30 years ago. I think it might be 30 years. In any case, we're decades down the line from when Tetris first came out and when it was a huge cultural phenomenon and
still relevant.
Not just relevant, I mean, just innovating into, you know, free-to-play online competitive games played by millions of people on Switch. One of the most touted and sought-after online experiences on the console.
Yeah.
Into virtual reality Tetris, which is just a mind-blowing experience.
Yeah, really, really cool to see it doing so well.
Really is.
You playing anything else?
No, I think that's about it.
I'm working, I've gone back to Red Dead. I'm going to beat it this time. So,
it's like the third time you tried to do that, but that's cool.
Yeah, but that's been really fun for me. And just playing a ton of games. So,
all right.
Cool.
Well, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're interested in finding other episodes, you can find them on our website at chundugaming.com or using whatever app you're listening to this podcast with.
Later.